I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the same place we started last Sunday. We're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 4, begin our study there. So turn there, if you would, please, Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 20 to 23 and build a little bit on the things that we shared with you last Sunday morning. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Let's pray together. And Father, we trust today that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding and show us the source of real life. Thank you, Father, for the abundant life that you have provided for all who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. May today be that day, if it has not been so far. Bless us this morning with your presence and your anointing. And thank you, Father, for teaching our hearts to love you more, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we started last week in this passage of Scripture to show you the priority of God's Word in our lives. We showed you that the Scriptures that we look at here are Solomon's words to his son, but we showed you last week how in reality these are God's words to us, you and me. And God is wanting us to understand the significance of the Word of God and the place that it should have in our lives. Top priority, we said. Above all else, the Word of God should have that position in our lives. We need to make it first place in everything. And the reason, he tells us right here in verse 22. He says, because the Word of God brings life to us. Life to us. And we need to understand what that means. We're talking about life in all of its fullness. Life in the sense of more than just surviving. How many of you are ready for something more than just surviving in life? You know, sometimes we'll get into the place where we're just kind of, man, we're just kicking and paddling and treading water as fast as we can, doing everything we can to try to keep our head above water. And God doesn't want us living in that place. God doesn't want us living in that place. You've probably heard this phrase before, under the circumstances. You probably used that phrase before. How are you doing today? Well, I'm doing okay, under the circumstances. And God doesn't want us living in places like that. God wants us living in a place where we're not just, listen, where we're not just surviving, but we're thriving. And we're experiencing abundant life. Abundant in the sense of the peace of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the hope of God. God wants us to be living such a life that when morning comes, we have a reason to get out of bed. And we want to get up and we want to do something for God and we want to serve the Lord. And we have hope and anticipation and expectation for the day because we know that God is in control and there's nothing He can't do. And He has good things in store for us every day. Sometimes some people get up in the morning and their attitude is, you know, you get out of bed and you say, good morning, Lord. And other people get up in the morning and the first thing they say is, good Lord, it's morning. God wants us to get up with an expectation every day that He has something awesome for us. And we should have a hope in our heart every day for God to do something awesome in our lives. This is God's best. This is what God wants for you and I. And the way that we get to that place is that we feed our heart on the Word of God. What do I mean when I say, by the way, put the Word first in your life? When I say, make it your top priority, put it above everything else. What exactly do we mean by that when we say that? Well, what we mean is simply this. We live our lives with the understanding of whatever God says goes. Whatever God says goes. If God says something is right, then it's right. If God says something is wrong, then it's wrong. And we don't try to twist the word to fit our circumstances so that we can have and do whatever we want to in life. But rather, we conform our lives to the Word of God because we know that's the best place to be, and it's the place of God's blessing in our lives. When we live according to God's Word, that's the place of blessing. So when God says, love everybody all the time, we make a decision. We're going to love everybody all the time. And sometimes we may have to bite our lip to do that. But by golly, this is what God says to do, and we're going to do what God says to do. When God says to forgive people for the offenses that they've brought against you, we make the decision. You know what? My flesh doesn't want to do that. But God says to do it, and I'm going to do it because God said to do it. We make a decision to put God's word first. We make a decision to put His ways first in whatever it says. When God says to submit, we make a decision. You know what? I'm going to submit. When God says to submit to the government, we're going to make a decision. We're going to submit to the government, and we're going to do so with an attitude of prayer, expecting God to work through the government to make things right. I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, one of the reasons God's not working through government the way that He desires to is because we're trying to control government and we won't let God do it. Somebody say amen to that. My God. God, listen, God doesn't work in things until we get out of the way so we can. And God tells us to pray for those that are in authority over us. And that's our place. And the most important prayer you can pray for anybody in any kind of position of authority is to pray for them to be saved. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know there's some politicians that need to get saved? I'm not naming anybody. I'm just saying. There's some politicians that need to get saved. And we need to pray for them. We need to pray for their eyes to be opened. We need to pray for witnesses to cross their path. We need to pray for them to have an opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, this country is not going to change until it changes that way, spiritually, in whatever house there happens to be a governor. It's got to be somebody who loves God and wants to do things God's way. When the Word of God tells us, don't live together as though you're married when you're not, then we're not going to do that. When the Bible tells us to tithe, we're going to do that. We don't understand why, but we're going to do that because that's what the Bible says to do. When the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, by golly, we're going to assemble with somebody somewhere sometime, and we're going to have some fellowship around the Word of God together. Amen. We're going to do what God says to do. We're going to put God's word first in everything. Baby said it last week. There needs to be something that has veto. What's the thing that has veto power over everything else in your life? And brother and sister, it needs to be the Word of God. Whenever we're making decisions in life, the final authority over the decision that we make needs to be the Word of God. We need to come to God with any decision that we're making and ask for Him to show us His will. He may lead you to a passage of Scripture. He may speak to you by the Holy Spirit in your heart. But we need to make God's Word the final authority in all of our lives. Not our selfish desires. Certainly not human wisdom. Not emotion. We make so many decisions in life out of emotion. Here's the problem with that. First of all, emotions are everywhere. Your emotions are a roller coaster. About every 10 minutes, they're changing. And we're wanting to make permanent, long-lasting decisions out of temporary emotions. Brother and sister, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. And we need to take the time to seek the Lord and find out what He wants in every situation. And then do what God says to do. Not what flesh wants to do. Not what, you know, our minds are trying to cook up and scheme up. We need to do what God says to do. Mary's words are very significant right here. In John chapter 2, Jesus goes to a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The hosts run out of refreshments. Probably the most embarrassing thing that can happen when you're hosting a party is you run out of refreshments. And the host ran out of refreshments. And Mary came to Jesus with the problem. She said, Jesus, we got a problem here. There's no more wine. There's nothing left for the party. And she's obviously expecting Jesus to do something. And Jesus says, in today's words, Jesus says, oh, Mom, it's not time for me yet. And, like a mother, she just turned to the disciples, just kind of ignored him. I guess only a mom can ignore Jesus. And she turns to the disciples and she says this, and here's her words. Whatever he says do, you do it. Whatever he says, doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. Doesn't matter whether you can figure it out or not. Whatever he says, you do. That needs to be the way that we live our lives as believers. Whatever we read in the Bible, when we see God telling us to do something in Scripture, we make the decision, by golly, this is what I'm going to do because my God said to do it. And I know, listen, how many of you understand that every commandment of God, every word of instruction from God is a word given by a loving God who wants to position us for His blessings in this life. That's why we have the instructions. That's why we have the commandments, to keep us out of trouble and to keep us walking in His blessings. So every time we see the word of the Lord, every time we read the Bible, we see something in there, and our lives are not lining up with what that word says, we need to make an adjustment in here and start living the way that God tells us to live. When God makes a promise to us, we need to believe that promise, whether anybody else ever does or not. And we need to do whatever God tells us to do about that promise, whether people laugh at us or not, and expect God to fulfill His promise in our life. The Bible said that God's not a man that He should lie. And when He makes a promise to us, when He speaks a word to us, we can count on that word coming to pass. I'll never forget, years ago, Dr. Charles Stanley, most of you probably know who he is, a wonderful, wonderful man of God and pastor of First Baptist Atlanta. And he pastored there for many, many decades. And many, many years ago, they were in a building program down there, a remodeling program or something like that. And God told them not to borrow money, but to trust Him for everything they needed in this building expansion project. And so they're going through the project and they're doing the work. And they're getting very close to a financial deadline where they've got to have a lot of money to pay a lot of bills. And it looks like there's no way they're ever going to cover the bills that are coming in. And people in the church begin to think, well, maybe we should just go ahead and borrow some money so that we can cover these bills and we can get this building done and then we can move on. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, Charles Stanley got up in church on Sunday morning. It's about 2 days. We're talking about 2 days before there are tens of thousands of dollars of bills that are due that he's got to have the cash for to pay. And again, there's pressure to just borrow the money and move on and all this kind of stuff. And he got up in the pulpit on a Sunday morning and began to talk about their building program and how God had told them not to borrow money, but to trust Him for everything that they needed. And he pulled out a pair of scissors, and he had something, I can't remember if it's a piece of paper or a note or something that they had already been approved by the bank. If they wanted to borrow the money was there. And he took that pair of scissors, and he cut that note in two. And he said, God said to trust Him for the money, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And a couple of days later, when those bills came due, all the money they needed had been provided by God. When God speaks to us by the Spirit, by the Word, we need to take that Word to heart, and we need to do whatever God tells us to do. This is the place of real success in life. And it comes when we order our lives according to the Word of God. Now, Jesus tells us a similar thing over in Matthew chapter 7, if you look over there with me. And He confirms this idea of putting the Word first place in your life and doing whatever God says to do. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 24 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 7 is the end of the most popular sermon in the Bible. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has taught for several chapters now biblical principles for right living and successful living and the Beatitudes and all of those kinds of things. Jesus has taught all of these principles about life and living it the right way and walking in God's blessing as a result of it. And he gets to the end of the sermon and he says this. Look at verse 24, and I'll read from 24 to 27. He's concluding his sermon, and he says it this way. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. If you draw in your Bible, underline in your Bible, you need to circle that phrase right there. And acts upon them. In other words, they're not just hearers of the word, but they're doers of the word. How many of you know it's one thing to sit here or anywhere and hear the word of God? But if you don't apply the word to your life, you really haven't profited anything. It hasn't profited you in any way. It's when we begin to apply what we hear to our lives that the blessing of the Lord begins to come. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them would be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Notice what Jesus tells us in these verses of scripture as he closes his sermon. He says, the wise man builds his house. And by the way, the house is a metaphor for our lives. Okay? We're not talking about necessarily a physical structure, a house. He's talking about our lives. And how we need to build our lives on the sure foundation of the Word of God. But he tells us also there that we need to be doers of the Word. Notice these two people. Both people hear the Word of the Lord. Both people, by the way, experienced the storms. Okay? They both experienced the rain, the flood, the wind, and all of that went on. Listen, Jesus is telling us plainly that just because we follow him and just because we live according to his word, it doesn't mean life is going to be a cakewalk. There's still going to be storms in life. Here's the difference. We're all going to experience storms in life. Here's the difference. Are we going to be conquered by the storm, or are we going to overcome the storms that come our way? And what makes the difference? The difference is building our lives on the Word of God. Notice he says there in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. The doer of the Word survives the storm. But then look at verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them is like the foolish man whose house would fall. And so again, the difference is not just hearing the word of the Lord, but being a doer of the word of God. And so last Sunday morning, we took a look at a couple of passages of scripture from the Old Testament, and I want to just touch on them real quickly again this morning. I haven't got a lot of time here, but I want to touch on them again this morning in Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read just a couple of verses and move on real quickly to Psalm 1. So if you want to find that, you can go ahead and find that and put a finger in there. Okay. We looked at two passages that taught us the principles of how to become a doer of the word. This is the critical thing. You can hear and be a doer, or you can hear and not be a doer. The doer succeeds. The one who doesn't fails. So what is the key to becoming a doer of the word? And we found out from both, and by the way, when we talk about being a doer of the word, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. You have to do this, you can't do that, and this kind of thing. When we talk about being a doer of the word, we're talking about having the word in our lives in such a way that it becomes the desire of our heart to do what the word says to do. We're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it because we want to, you see. And we're going to find out exactly how we're supposed to do that in these passages that we looked at last week. We looked at Joshua chapter 1, which was the story of Joshua having been given the authority by God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And look at verses 7 and 8 and see again what God told to Joshua. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful, here it is, to do according to all the law. Be a doer of the word, Joshua, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Please notice that he tells us in this passage of Scripture, the way that we become a doer of the Word of God is that we feed upon the Word of God so that it becomes a part of who we are. And the way that we feed on the Word that way is we meditate the Scriptures. We meditate the Scriptures. In other words, we don't race through the Bible to see how quickly we can get through. The point of Bible study, brother and sister, is not to get through. The point of Bible study is to get the Word in us, so the Word can make a difference in our lives. And the way that we do that is by meditating the Scriptures. Look at Psalm 1 with me. We see the same principle in Psalm 1. And the psalmist tells us here in verses 2 and 3. Verse 1 speaks of the blessed man. And verse 2 tells us the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He delights in it. In other words, the study of the word of the Lord has become the desire of his heart. Why? Because he realizes the value of it. He realizes the significance of it. He knows what feeding his heart on the Word of God can do for him, how it can completely revolutionize and change his life. And so he wants to get into the Word of God. He wants to feed his heart on the Word. He wants to become a doer of the Word, because he knows that if he's that person, he's going to walk in the blessings and the favor of the Lord. And verse 3 tells us about those favors. In verse 3, he'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. This is someone who is strong in the Lord. This is someone who is constantly bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. This is someone who is withstanding the storms of life. This is someone who is living life to the fullest and blessing the kingdom of God in the process. But again, notice the key in verse 2. He meditates the word day and night. To meditate, we said last week, means to think about, to ponder, to dwell on, to roll it over in your mind, to consider over and over, to chew on the word. To chew on it. We use that phrase a lot of times. Well, let me chew on it for a little while. We chew on the word. And the word, we chew on the word, we digest the word becomes a part of who we are, and we instinctively live by the word of God. We shared with you last week. Hey, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And if you're feeding on, if you're feeding on what the politicians say and what the media is saying and all this kind of stuff, and you're feeding on all the bad news of the world, then you just got a dark cloud that's following you around, and you have no hope or no expectation of any good thing ever happening. But if you feed your heart on the Word of God, brother and sister, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, because God is bigger than all that. And when we're walking in line with the Word of God and living according to His principles and His ways, because we delight to do that, because it's become a part of who we are, because we know the value of the Word and the significance of it, and we're living that way because of our love for God, then we open the door for the blessing of the Lord to come into our lives. The Word of God is food for our soul. You know, just like our bodies need to be fed a healthy diet regularly in order for our bodies to maintain strength and health, our souls and our spirits need to be fed as well. Well, the food for our soul and spirit is the Word of God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, we feed our natural body healthy food, and our natural body stays healthy. And if we feed our spiritual body, our inner man, on the healthy food of the Word of God, then spiritually we'll stay healthy. We'll stay strong in faith and in the power of the Lord, you see. But you see, most of us, quite frankly, aren't even aware that there is an inner man. Let alone are we feeding that inner man. We're starving our inner man to death. We're fasting the wrong guy. We should be fasting the outer man more and feeding that inner man more so that he's stronger and healthier, and we're strong in faith and believing in what God tells us to do. We feed our souls by reading and studying and meditating the Word of God, in communion with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring fresh revelation and truth from the Word of God as we read it and study it and meditate upon it. That truth becomes a part of who we are. James actually confirms this whole process. Look at James chapter 1. James confirms this whole process of becoming a doer of the Word by meditating the Scriptures in James chapter 1. Look at verse 19 with me. So we're going to start, yeah. James chapter 1, verse 19. James says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Quick to hear and slow to speak. You know, it's actually said that James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's a book filled with the wisdom of the Lord. And there's some wisdom right there where he says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. I suspect most of us have been guilty of being too quick to speak and too slow to hear. Part of the problem in our world today is that people won't stop and take the time to listen to each other. We talk at each other instead of to each other, and we don't communicate. We need to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Somebody said that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You ought to listen twice as much as you speak. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Oh my. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. There's a good one for us to meditate on for the rest of the day. Therefore, look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and now he's going to tell us how we put that aside, in humility, receive the word implanted or engrafted, which is able to save your souls. The way you put off the wickedness is you put on the word of God. The way that you get the wickedness out is you put the word of God in. Psalm 119, the psalmist says there, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's the word in his heart that drives the sin out, you see. And so we put the word in order to drive the sin out. He says, receive the word implanted, which is implanted. We're going to dig it in there deep, okay? We're going to plant it in there good and strong, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you're just hearing the word and not doing it, you're deluded. You're deluded, you see. And so he tells us there, once again, we need to be doers of the word of God. Look at verse 23. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks, look at verse 25, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all that he does. Now watch what he's saying here. He's saying, we don't want to approach the word of God like we approach a mirror to look at ourselves, to check ourselves real quick before we run out and go out in public. You know, you got that mirror beside your door. Most of us have one by the door. So the last thing we do before we go out the door is we make one last check of ourselves before we go out to be sure we look okay before when we go out in public. We take a quick glance, we look at ourselves, and off we go. And James says when we just take a quick glance at ourselves, it's not very long that we forget what we look like. And watch what he says here, the very next verse. He's saying, don't treat the word of God that way. In other words, when you get into the word of God, don't be so quick to move on. Don't just take a quick glance at it and move on, but rather look intently at the word of God. Stop. Pause. Consider, meditate, chew on the word, look at it intently so that the word becomes a part of who you are, so that you instinctively become a doer of the word of God. Not because you have to, but now it's in you and you want to. And when you get to that place, where being a doer of the word is instinctive and that it's the desire of your heart. He tells us at the end of that verse, he says, this man, in the verse 25, this man will be blessed in everything that he does. Jesus, one last one real quickly. Jesus, and I'm not even going to turn to it. In John chapter 8, Jesus tells us similarly in John chapter 8, he says, if you, watch the word, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We'll know the truth when we continue in the word of God. We don't just glance at it and move on, but we hover over the word. We continue in it. We come to abide in it. We come to feed on it. We let it become a part of who we are. When we do that, we'll truly be the disciples of the Lord who follow him in every way. We'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. This is the value. This is the significance of the word of God and why it's so important for us to put the word of God first place in our lives. And to make it a priority in our lives, letting it govern everything, letting it have veto power over every decision that we make in life. I closed the last week just by giving you some very practical thoughts about Bible study and how to feed your heart on the Word of God. And I just want to repeat that again to you today. Again, the idea of Bible study is not to get through the Bible. The idea of Bible study is to get the Word into your heart and into your life so that it becomes a way of living to you, you see. And so we don't have to read large portions of Scripture every day to make that happen. In fact, we can read small portions of Scripture, just a story, just a chapter, maybe just a couple of verses. But if we read those verses and think about them and ponder them through the course of the day, when you're driving back home from work, while you're stopping and you're having lunch, before you have dinner at night, just think about what you read. Think about what the Word of God has to say. We should always, always do Bible study in communion with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read a book and you enjoyed the book so much? You wished you could sit down and talk with the author and ask him some questions? The Bible says that the Scriptures are God-breathed Word of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write what you and I call the Bible, and the same Holy Spirit who inspired the writing of the Bible lives in your heart and in my heart if we believe in Jesus in order to teach us what the Bible has to say. When we read the Bible, we can sit down and we can ask the Holy Spirit, pull up a chair and let's talk about the Scriptures together. And we can commune with the Holy Spirit of God and say, Lord, what did you mean when you said this? What am I supposed to do about that part over there? Does this part really apply to me today? And he'll probably say, yeah. Read the Bible in communion with the Holy Spirit and let him teach you out of what you've been reading. We should, listen, find yourself a translation that you can understand when you can read. There are a lot of great translations out there these days. A lot of great translations. I remember back in 1977. Wow, this year I was electrocuted. 1977, there was a new translation that came out. The New American Standard came out. And Becky got me a copy of it the next year in 1978. And I could not get enough of the Word of God because I finally found a translation that I could understand when I read it. And because I could understand it, I just wanted to keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it over and over and over again. And there are a lot of good translations today. The New American Standard, the New Living Translation, if you need something that's pretty simple to understand, the New International Version. There are just a lot of translations out there of good modern English Bibles that you can read, and there's one out there for you that you can understand when you read it, and God will speak to you through it. I think that's probably what was happening to me and why I fell in love with the New American Translation, is because God was speaking to me out of that. And I could understand what I was reading, and God was speaking to me, and revelation was coming to me. And I began to see how God wanted me to live. I'll never forget. When we began reading and studying the Scriptures and talking the Scriptures that talk about tithing, the Bible tells us to tithe. And people like to argue about that. Oh, it's a law. Listen, as a Christian, we don't do anything because it's a law. That's not why we do anything. Everything that we do because it's the desire of our heart. And listen, when the Bible tells us to do something, if we'll feed on that and let the Holy Spirit teach us about that, it'll become desire. Jesus, by the way, confirmed that we ought to be tithing. I think it's Matthew 22:22. But the whole thing is, listen, when we begin to understand that if we would give to the Lord and trust God to meet our needs. And Becky and I did this at a time in our lives when we didn't have anything. We had a couple of kids and a little two-bedroom house and a single salary of minimum wage and things like that. We made a decision, we're going to tithe. And we've done it ever since. And God has been faithful to meet our needs all of these years. It doesn't make any sense to me. I look back at my life right now and I am amazed at how God provided for Becky and I the last 50 years. On paper, it doesn't work. Thank God it's not on paper. It's in our heart. It's the Word of God. And because we've been obedient to it, God has blessed us. And we just know. Listen, I got to close. Our whole ministry for all of these years has been this simple thing. We've seen what God can do when we obey His Word. And so we teach the Word to help you know the Word so that you can obey the Word and be blessed as well. Our desire is for you to experience every blessing we've experienced. It's why we teach you what we do. And so we're teaching you in these weeks to put the Word of God first place in your life. Let God have the final authority over every decision you make. By the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, you let God speak to you, and you do what God says to you, and I guarantee you, you'll be blessed. Put the Word of God above all else. Let's pray together. And Father, I thank you again for the Word this morning. I thank you, Father, that you did indeed move upon holy men of old and led them to write what we today call our Bible, the inspired Word of God. Lord, we believe every word of it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We may not understand it all, but we believe it all. We believe when we live by it, your blessing will rest upon us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.